We sang it, but do we really believe it? In the name of Jesus, there is power to break every chain. Every chain? Everything that holds us back? In the name of Jesus, there's power. And I think too often, we'll sing it, we'll say it, we'll pray it, but we don't really believe it. Because if we really believe it, we'll live like that. That these chains, whatever those chains may be, cannot hold us back. Woo, that's some good worship. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this day you have given us. This is the day you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are gathered here to worship you, to lift our voices to you, and to hear from you. So as we open your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, guide our steps, and break every chain that may be holding us back from being all you have called and created us to be. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Lon A. and I want to thank you all for your warm greeting last week and the gift basket. There wasn't too much marital strife over some of the, you know, the chocolate. We've resolved all the issues that came with that. I actually went and had to get some Rise Up coffee last week right after lunch because that's some good stuff. So we really want to thank you. You know, gifts tend to lift us up. And gifts, by definition, it's something we get that we didn't really do anything to get. It's given to us freely, without payment. One Christmas, I got a gift from my parents. I got this thing, and I tear open the paper, and I see. I said, oh, this is the coolest thing. You know, all of us could gather together, and our boys were about that size, and we can all get together, four of them, and Lon A. and I, we can gather together and watch TV. This is wonderful. And I opened the box, and it was an iPad. And my boys still laugh at me about it. Because they say, you look like you were disappointed because you got an iPad instead of this crazy snuggly for the whole family. Gifts. I'm okay at buying gifts for Lon A. Sometimes I hit it and sometimes I don't. In fact, one year she told me, do not ever buy me jewelry unless I tell you that I want it.
I didn't say it that way.
Yeah, you did. But a friend of mine confessed to me that soon after he and his wife were married, one year for Christmas, he bought her a toilet scrubbing brush. And he thought he had done a good job. It was useful. It was something she needed, he thought. So when I don't do a good job buying gifts, I just need to remind Lon A. that I'm not the worst. There are people who are worse than I am. But how's it make you feel when you buy someone a gift? You think it's special. You've thought about it. You've gone through the hard work. And you stick it away in a drawer or in a closet or stick it in the garage and never pull it out. Never use it. It's just kind of stuck away, unseen, unthought about, unused. It kind of is disheartening when you do that. This morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. And you can start turning there or clicking there or however you get to your scripture. But this passage is about the gifts that God gives us. And these are gifts that God gives us to glorify him in our day in, day out, real life living. These are gifts that we don't just pull out on Sunday morning. These are gifts that God gives us to use in our lives. He also speaks of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's easy to remember Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. In each case, when he presents these gifts, he talks about them with warnings of the danger of pride that can come along with our gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, there's people with certain gifts that are more likely to think more highly of themselves than they ought than others. But Paul wants us to realize that these are gifts. It's not something we've done to deserve. It's a gift from God. They're not something we earn. There's not something we deserve. They are given to us for the good of the body of Christ, the church, for our community. These gifts do not prove how spiritual we are, how much God loves us. They do not make us more important than someone else with a different gift. Gifts are not something we earn. They are something that is given to us by God. We do not start with a gift down here and then we climb the ladder and we get different, better gifts. No, that's not the way it works. And the way Paul phrases this is kind of awkward. He doesn't say it's in accordance with the faith you have in God, but he puts it in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. See, our relationship with God is not really our doing. It's by faith. The faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. It's not the quantity of faith. It's who we have faith in. The faith God has given us as we believe in and follow Jesus in obedience to him. No one is in a place where they can flaunt their gifts among others. Look at what God gave me. He loves me so much more than he loves you. No, it's not based on us. God gives these gifts to us to glorify him and to strengthen his body and to reveal himself to the world in which we live. He gives these gifts to us with a purpose, but it's not the purpose to build ourselves up. These gifts are for building the body of Christ. Think about it, the body of Christ. As we bring all these gifts together, we represent Christ. Each gift is important. Each one is needed. In Romans 12, verse 4, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Each member belongs to all that. We belong to one another. Paul, here in Romans, as he did in 1 Corinthians, compares our various gifts to the differing parts of the human body. And I want to share, because he goes into a little more detail in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Hear that? You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you, each one of us are part of the body of Christ. If your liver decides to stop working because it's not getting the attention your hair does, you're dead. But nobody comes up and says, right, you don't have hair. Let me find somebody. No. your liver's looking good today, though, you know. Your hair's a little mess, but your liver's looking good. We don't get that. But if the liver gets upset because it's not getting the attention the hair does, we're not going to live. So Paul's making this comparison for us so that we can recognize that every part of the body is important. We are all needed. We are all part of the body of Christ, and every part is needed. In this room, we've got arms and legs and hearts and livers and hands and feet and eyes and ears. We are all a part of the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of us, all of us who are followers of Jesus, are part of the body of Christ. Some are out front, people see. Others are behind the scenes. But there is not a hierarchy of importance. We're all needed. And we're to be actively involved as the body of Christ. This next picture on here is not real good to look at, but do not be a skin tag on the body of Christ. Because what's a skin tag do? It just kind of hangs out, right? It doesn't benefit the body at all. It just kind of hangs out with the body. We don't want to be skin tags on the body of Christ. We need to be an actively participating part of the body of Christ. Picking up at verse 6, be much better to look at it. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, I don't believe this list from Romans 12 or the list from 1 Corinthians 12 or the two lists. I don't think that's an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts. There's multiple gifts, and they're all to be used for the benefit of the kingdom of God. But I do like the way Paul puts it here. Basically, he's saying, whatever your gift is, then use it. Don't be looking at somebody else what their gift is. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's giving, then give. If it's encouraging, encourage. If it's teaching, then teach. Just use your gift as God intended it to be used. I mean, the gifts aren't really ours. They're given to us by God. Using our gifts should be our normal day in, day out life. It's the way God's wired us. And you look around, we're all wired different. So you shouldn't be stuck doing things all the time that don't fit your gift. Because if you do, it will wear you out. Now there come times when you need to step up and do something that's not really in your gifting just because it needs to be done. But that shouldn't be the norm. You know, ducks can run, but they get tired before long. They're a whole lot faster when they fly, and they're more comfortable when they swim than they are running around on the ground. Deer can swim. They're not real fast, but once they get up on the land, man, they like the wind. They can do these other things that God created them to do, but when they really are in their gifting, we can look at them with awe. It's the same way with us. If we're doing tasks that don't fit within our gifting, we can do it for a little while, but it wears us out and we burn out, and then we don't do the things that we are gifted for, and the person who's gifted to do that task hasn't stepped up, so they're missing a blessing too, and the whole body gets out of whack, just as our physical bodies get out of whack. I remember when I was a kid, and it's wild how some things stick in your head. There was a video that they showed when I was in school, and it was a lady that didn't have any arms, and she used her feet like hands. She'd go to the grocery store and pick her leg up and grab stuff off. You're not made to do that, but you can do it if you have to. What happens when an arm in the body of Christ says, I don't really want to participate? The body's weakened. When we refuse to do what God has called us to do, what he has gifted us to do, we debilitate and deform the body of Christ. And we're all part of the body. Each one of us is what he tells us. So if we don't have someone to take on a ministry or do something we want to do as a church, there's one of two things going on. One is God hasn't called us to do that. And we're trying to do what God hadn't called us to do. But I think what happens more often is God has called someone to step up and they refuse to step up. So they're disobeying God, which is sin. What are the gifts God has given us, and what are we doing with those gifts? Because God uses us as his body to represent Christ into the world. But no one of us can do that. We do it as a body. We do it as we all come together, each one using our gift, each one using our strengths. And as we look around this room, we've got every part of the body needed to do everything God has called Real Life Chapel to do. The question is, will we all step up and do what God has called us to do? Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So we are all given gifts. Everyone who is a follower of Jesus has received gifts. The other part that goes along with it is our passion. There's certain areas that we're more passionate about than others. So we use our gifts, but then we need to find something that we're passionate about to go along with that gift. A friend of mine is probably one of the best Sunday school teachers I've ever sat under. But he told me the first time he taught Sunday school, they had him teaching middle school. And it was total frustration. He said after he kicked a chair across the room in the middle of class, he decided that's probably not where he needed to be. So they moved him into an adult class, and he's been thriving there ever since. We've got gifts, and we have passions. And we need to find the place where the two of them intersects. But before we find a passion, sometimes we'll say, well, I don't know. You know, I've got this gift. I'm just going to stick this gift away. And we kind of like that present you get that you hide in the sock drawer, stick in the closet, stick in the garage. We hide it away and never pull it out. Or maybe some of you are at a place where I don't really have any gifts. Yeah, you do. How do you discover what your gifts are? There's all kinds of assessments you can do online. And if you can't find one you want to know, I'll try to help you find one. But here's how I think we find our gifts best. One is we examine ourselves. What are the things that give me energy? What are the things that I do that people tell me I do a good job at? What are those things that drive me? And then probably the best place to find is talk to the people around you, your friends, the people in the church. What do you think my gift? Man, they're all sitting there. You don't see it. I see it. Everybody sees it but you. Figure out what those gifts are and then figure out where your passion is. Put them together and you'll strengthen the body of Christ. And when we work within our gifts, it's not even work. It's just what we do. And the entire body benefits. When we have these gifts, the next thing we need to do with them is to develop them. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean that everything, you don't have to work at it. I mean, musicians, you don't have to practice or anything, do you? You just come up, you've got the gift. Oh, it doesn't work that way, does it? I've got a guy I went to high school with who plays the trumpet professionally, and he's played with Aretha Franklin and all the Lyle Lovett and all these big-time people, and he's in Nashville and does studio stuff and all, and he's been playing all these years, and he still practices 8 or 9 hours every day. He's got a gift, but he has to continue to develop it. We have to do the same thing. When I first started building chicken houses and working on them, I had a hammer, a circular saw, a drill, and not a whole lot else. And then I got going. I made a little money, and I bought a compressor and an air nailer, air stapler, and then I bought a table saw and a chop saw and all these other tools along the way. And you can't get enough tools, right? So I kept accumulating tools. But it made it so I could build faster and better the more tools I had. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. So when God called me into the ministry, I decided I was going to go to seminary. Can you pastor without all that education? Yes. But what I wanted is to get all the tools I could so I could do the best job possible as I'm serving the body of Christ. And we all can. We don't all have to go to seminary or go to school or whatever, but we can find ways that we continue to grow. I continue to listen to podcasts, read books, talk to other people, learn all I can from whoever I can. If you feel like God has gifted you in an area, you find somebody that's working in that area and using those gifts, and you come alongside them and say, will you mentor me in this? Will you help me Learn how to do this well so it strengthens the body of Christ. And if you're that person on the other side and you've been working in that gift for a while, be willing to give. To invest in that person coming alongside them and training them up to use that gift. And then the entire body is strengthened. We have gifts. We have opportunities to develop those gifts. We have a passion. So we figure out where the gift and the passion come together. You know, thinking about it, what was that, a week or so ago, I was talking to Melissa during worship practice. And she got talking about OCC. You want to talk about passion? She was telling me all about all the people that had gotten shoeboxes. She was telling me about different things going on in the church. It's a gift, administrative, putting all that stuff together, and a passion. We have the same thing with people that teach Sunday school. I hear Bill's the guy to go to on finances. Michelle has a way of connecting all the dots and trying to keep me straight over the past couple weeks. People in the sound booth keep all that stuff going even when it wants to act crazy. You've got people working behind the scenes, and you have people that are out front. Robert greets everybody that comes in the door, and I don't know how many years he's been doing that, two or three anyway. Harry oversees men's ministry. Karen and Chuck call us to prayer. We've got people, and I know it's dangerous as soon as you start naming names, but I know a bunch of you are using those gifts to invest in the kingdom. But there's some of you that aren't. And God is calling you. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, but I can't do that. Oh, you're right. Unless God calls you to it. And if he calls you to it, he will equip you. I mean, I've learned a lot of what people were doing just over the last couple weeks. The other part, though, that plays into the, we've got our gifts, we've got our passions, but we're all in different seasons of life as well. Some of you have more free time than others do. Line A and I have a whole lot more free time as empty nesters than we did when we had four boys running around in sports and all these directions and all that kind of stuff. But we can all, what would happen? We've all got some time that we could invest in the kingdom. And what would happen if we just, each one of us, every single one of us, gave an hour or two a week to doing kingdom work, to doing what God has called us to do, an hour or two a week. We can squeeze that in. I mean, just don't look at Facebook that day. Don't watch a TV show that day. We've got all kinds of things. We might not think we have time, but we can squeeze in. It might be sacrificial. And then those that have more time can give more time. So we've got our gifts. We've got our passions. And we've got our time. And we use all those things. We bring it all together. And God uses it to build his body. I mean, it's the least we can do. He gave his life for us. What's an hour or so a week? Some people have gifts that are out front, and some are behind the scenes. Think of those with the gift of hospitality. Somebody comes in, whether it's into the church or into your home, and you just make them feel welcome. They feel like they're welcomed and home and comfortable right where they are. Some have the gift of music. As I said before, I can't even clap and beat. For some, it's compassionate ministry. For some, it's teaching. For some, it's leading. For some, it's helping others. For some, it's finances. For some, it's creating things or making things or building things. And the list goes on and on and on. But what we have to realize is we do those things because we've received the gift from God, and we do it to glorify Him and to strengthen His body and to represent Christ to the world. If you want to grow closer to Jesus, maybe you're in a place where you're feeling dry and stagnant in your spiritual life. Perhaps it's because you're there receiving, 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 and you're not giving anything back. And when we do that, we kind of dry up. And every Christian, every follower of Jesus has a gift and a responsibility to discover and develop that gift and use it to glorify God and bless others. If you want to see revival break out at Real Life Chapel, if you want to see revival break out in Easton and on the Eastern Shore, if you want to see this country change, this world change, it begins with followers of Jesus using the gifts He's given us to build up His body and further the work of His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And when we do that, it's not, oh, I got to get up and preach today. No, it's I get to. You mean God of heaven has invited me to teach a Sunday school class? Woo! God in heaven has invited me to make coffee and serve in the background and just take care of it. Like, I mean, He washed people's feet and He's letting me do. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a different attitude instead of, I got Sunday school this week. Oh, no. We get to serve within the body of Christ and make a difference in the world in which we live. If you're still trying to figure out your gift, let's be diligent about that. Let's talk about that. And if you know what your gift is, but you've been holding back, let's talk. You can talk to me. You can talk to somebody on the leadership team. We will find somewhere to plug you in using the gifts God has given you, because God has a plan for us, and I believe He wants to use us here at Real Life Chapel to make a difference in our lives, in Easton, and in the greater community. But it begins with His people coming together as one body with diverse gifts, serving one another, and those outside these walls. As we sang in that song, there's an army rising up. You're an army. You're an army. You're in the army that's rising up to break every chain. There's a bunch of chains in this world, you look around. But we're part of the solution. And we use the gifts God's given us to glorify Him, bless others. Lord, here we are, your recruits for your army to break every chain. Lord, you've given us gifts. Forgive us for the gifts you have given us that we have stuck away and not used. Forgive us for ignoring your call to each one of us to do something within your body. Lord, those that are in here this morning that don't know what their gift is, I pray that you would speak to them today, that you would begin revealing to them how you have gifted them and how they can use that gift to benefit your body in this world we live in. Lord, if those that know their gift but they just don't have the passion, I pray that you would help them discover those areas where you've put a passion in them. And Lord, most of us will say, yeah, but time. Ah, time. But Lord, you've given all of us 24 hours. We need to sleep for 8. That gives us 16 hours. Help us to discover how we can use a portion of our time that you have given us to glorify you and to strengthen your body. Lord, I pray for Real Life Chapel. I pray that we will come together as one body with diverse gifts that are ready to be used to change this world. Use us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. The name that breaks every chain. Amen.